Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
There's no reality. This is sports.
At the new slogan for our show, welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. There's no reality. This is sports.
There's no reality. This is sports.
Doc getting philosophical on us as his point guard wears sweatpants, carries a phone on the court, and won't participate in drills. What a circus the Sixers are. And I feel like every time we bring on Mike O'Connor from Rights to Ricky Sanchez, the Sixers are some level of circus. Today, it became a three-ring circus with Ben being told to go home, him taking his ball and literally leaving. And here we are, the Sixers point guard suspended for tomorrow night. I don't believe he'll ever wear the jersey again in a game. And Daryl Morey waiting for some sort of value to emerge and make a trade. Let's talk to Mike O'Connor here, Rights to Ricky Sanchez. He wrote a column this weekend. I saw bold predictions for the season and, of course, the situation with Ben Simmons. Mike, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, Joe. Didn't you think we'd be done talking about this guy by now? Didn't you think this would all be over? Unfortunately, we're still talking about him.
Yeah, I did. And we were wrong because we thought that, because he's still here, although he's not really, because he's at home right now as the Sixers are traveling and did travel today to go play their first game of the season tomorrow. Mike, I was discussing tonight with the audience about where we put the blame. Like, obviously, Ben's not acting professional. I'm not trying to absolve him from blame. He's acting like a petulant child, but my frustration tonight on this whole thing lies with the Sixers and most recently Daryl Morey. Like, this should be done by now. And I understand you don't want to give away a player and you don't want to not get anything back. But at some point, the player has shown you who he is and how this might go. And I just think the league has spoken. I don't know if these magical deals are going to fall out of outer space tomorrow. The fact that this is still going on, I think it's a bad look on Daryl Morey. Who do you blame more right now for what's happening, Ben and his agents or the Sixers for trying to hold on to this thing?
I would have to start with Ben and his agents because, honestly, I think that if they had gone about this in a much quieter and more reasonable way, they might have what they want by now. He might be somewhere else, right? I mean, if we didn't have these leaks every single day this summer, we can't act like that helped his value. It had to hurt, right? So I think if they had kind of, you know, kept their mouth shut, gone about their business and made the trade request in quiet, maybe he's already somewhere else by now. But, you know, given the reality of what they did, you're right that there also is some blame on Daryl Morey. I mean, I just don't know what he's waiting for. What is he hoping will pop up? I don't see anything that's on the horizon that's going to, you know, this amazing offer that's coming soon. I just don't see it.
Yeah, so with that, do you think the Sixers have overplayed their hand here with him and his value? I don't know what his value is, but my suspicion is it's not what the Sixers hope it is. And, you know, there's always that thing with do things appreciate, do assets appreciate or depreciate, you know, as they move forward. I don't see how we play this out and he becomes more valuable. Teams are willing to give up more. In fact, we saw the news with the Malcolm Brogdon contract extension. He now, by NBA rules, can't be traded this year. So even like something like that with the Pacers, now that's off the table. Do you think Ben is losing value here, staying the same? I can't imagine he's gaining value across the league.
I have to think he's losing value a little bit. And, you know, part of that is just everyone's looking at what a joke the Sixers are right now, and they can't maintain any kind of homeostasis. They're not going to be a stable team with this circus going on. I mean, everybody's going to look at that and say, okay, this team is just going to become more and more motivated to get a deal done. I'm not going to up my offer the more of a joke that the franchise becomes. It's not going to happen. So, to answer your question, I definitely think they've overplayed their hand a little bit here. And, you know, the value, I don't think it's necessarily going to tank. I don't think that we're looking at a situation where in 3 weeks they're going to have to give him up for peanuts. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but I think it's going down a little bit, you know, each and every week. Every news story just kind of is another chip away at his value.
Yeah, and it's not getting better. It's getting worse right now. Mike O'Connor, Ricer, Ricky Sanchez joining us here talking Sixers, Ben Simmons. So, Mike, now what? How do you think this will play out? You know, Doc today alluded to the idea of every day. If he wants to come back, he's welcome back. But the season starts tomorrow. He's suspended. I don't think there's a chance he's just going to walk back in and play and be at home in the game Friday night. Do they have to just send him home? Like, let him sit on the bench? Do you think they'll fake an injury here? Because now it's very hard for me to believe that we just have some sort of normalcy. This feels like something has to change soon.
Yeah, I mean, what I would do is, and it's unfortunate because you're kind of losing the power, you know, power dynamics of it here, but I would say, look, go home. Look, you won the battle. We won't, you know, fine you every day, but we just need this news cycle to go away. I mean, I think that's the most pressing need, and Ben has clearly demonstrated that if he is going to show up at all, it's not going to be, you know, his usual self. He's just going to be going through the motions, and he's not going to be contributing anything of value, so why would you want him around? I mean, how could you argue? How could the Sixers possibly make the argument that having him around the past 4 or 5 days has been a good thing, either for Ben or for the team, or, you know, their immediate success? Doesn't matter. A week ago, we're all excited about Isaiah Joe and Tyrese Maxey and all these guys. Now it's like it feels once again like the sky is falling. I mean, it's not good for the organization to have him around in this capacity. So, I mean, I would say, and by the way, this is not uncommon, you know, for teams to kind of just send a guy away and say, all right, you know, we'll trade you. The Rockets are doing it with John Wall right now. I mean, very different situation, but they've effectively said, just stay home and we'll work to try and trade you. And I think that's ultimately what the Sixers should do.
Mike, I don't think the Sixers are going to wake up tomorrow with an offer of Dame Lillard. I don't think Bradley Beal is going to happen. I don't think any of these pie-in-the-sky ideas that maybe people thought at one point could happen are going to happen. But you did write a predictions piece that I saw at Ricer, Ricky Sanchez, with one that might be the ultimate my problem for your problem kind of trade. And you wrote about the idea of Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving. Take us through why you think at some point that could be a reality both teams have to explore.
Yeah, it's, you know, the one thing that the Sixers have consistently signaled throughout the entire Ben Simmons saga this whole summer has been, we will not trade him for anything less than an all-star, right? That is the sole reason that Ben is still on this roster, that they want an all-NBA caliber player, and they haven't gotten that offer. And I'm just looking around, and like you said, I don't see the Damian Lillard offer coming. I don't see the Bradley Beal offer coming. There's just kind of no one else. And I'll draw a parallel to the last time the Sixers traded for a star was Jimmy Butler, right, 3 years ago. And they made a big deal that summer about we're star hunting. We want, you know, LeBron and Paul George and all these guys. They didn't get any of them. And what did they do? They had to trade. They really wanted a star. They had to trade for the guy who's disgruntled, who carries a lot of baggage, and was available for a really low price, right? And I think I see similarities with Kyrie Irving. I mean, all of the reporting out of Brooklyn is that the Nets are pretty much fed up with him, right? I don't see this stalemate resolving in any type of way. And I just see it as, look, if the Sixers just have one stipulation in this scenario, and it's that they must get an all-NBA player in return, well, there's only one that's available. And the other team is super motivated to move that guy too. So I just see the stars aligning for that. And everybody thinks it's crazy. And all I can say is, have you been paying attention to Sixers basketball over the past 5 years? Because everything that's happened has been crazy. Everything that's happened has been this lightning rod for insanity. So I that's just what I see happening. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's realistic.
Yeah, well, I would say the most on-brand thing for the Sixers would be to trade Ben for the unvaccinated player who threatens to retire the minute he's traded. I mean, that actually feels like the most Sixers way to do this. Let's say we get to a point where those teams discuss it. Do you think the Nets would be into that kind of deal? I mean, I think the Sixers, as you said, they're looking for a specific thing. Kyrie would fit the description, and I think he'd be a good fit with Joel. Do you think the Nets, if they get to a point where they realize Kyrie's not going to play and they're trying to win a title, do you think they would want a player like Ben Simmons in return for Kyrie?
I think that it would probably end up being a three-team trade where Ben goes somewhere else and the Nets get, you know, maybe something like the Minnesota package we've discussed where it's Malik Beasley and a bunch of draft picks. That way they replenish a lot of the picks they lost in the Harden trade, and they get a good young player. Because look, let's be honest, it's Kyrie doesn't have a lot of value right now. I mean, it's just been one crisis after another in his career over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. So it's somewhat similar to Ben Simmons. I mean, I think even the Sixers might be able to get draft compensation coming their way in that type of trade. If it is Ben for Kyrie straight up, I would have to think that there's draft picks coming the Sixers' way. So that's kind of how I envision that going down.
Mike, last one for you. Independent of the Ben stuff and how this might end, what is your read on this team? It feels like, you know, I haven't even much thought about it. We haven't talked about it on the show. The season starts tomorrow. I find there to be a lack of buzz. I think this is just a buzz kill, the Ben Simmons stuff. But what do you think about the team and where they're at, I guess, starting tomorrow night without Ben Simmons? Is this team still really good? Do you think they have a drop-off? It feels to me like it's going to be a little drop-off. I don't think they'll be bad, but I don't think they're going to be close to a number one seed this year. What's your thought on the team independent of the Simmons stuff?
Yeah, there has to be a little drop-off, no doubt. But I don't think a big one. I mean, I think, you know, fourth seed, something in there is realistic. I mean, Joel Embiid still looks great. He's continuing to mature as a person, as a player. And, you know, one thing we saw in the preseason that, you know, really stood out to me was this team just has a ton of shooting. I mean, a ton of it. And you know, that has not been the case over the past, you know, 4 years or so, or since they've been good, where they just have – you know, sniper after sniper off the bench. I mean, they can really put out some lineups with Furkan Korkmaz and Isaiah Joe and George Niang and all these guys. You know, we're talking like top-tier shooters in the NBA. And I think Joel having that and even Tobias having that, it's going to work out. They're going to be a very good offensive team. I don't think the defense will slip that much. So I think if they can ever attain some sense of normalcy, I think they'll be a very competitive team.
I think they will be too, but boy, the normalcy will probably elude them. Mike, we always appreciate you hopping on, and we'll be reading over Rice and Ricky Sanchez. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
There he goes. Mike O'Connor, his thoughts on the Sixers competitive team. Kyrie Irving for Ben. It does feel like it's just ridiculous enough to end this thing. What is the more likely scenario? Let's say that trade went down. Kyrie comes here and plays really well and pairs perfectly with Joel Embiid. Or he retires because he doesn't want to leave New York.
B.
Would you do the deal if you knew Kyrie would retire? So you clear the money.
You save that money, right?
You clear the money.
I think I would.
I think
right?
I would
mean, like, if you have a 35% chance of Kyrie Irving playing next to Joel Embiid, I think it works. I mean, it's kind of fun that we tend to forget that he pretty much tanked the Boston Celtics for 2 years.
Oh, yeah. He's a loon. I mean, he's
nuts. Like, even if he didn't want to play but still showed up, like, he could be bad. Like, he could ruin the franchise.
Remember when he
from
walked around
out
in Boston with the incense up there? Like, he's just – I mean, I my red flag went off with Kyrie when he said, I want my own team. I don't want to play with LeBron anymore. That was like – man, like, you got the golden ticket in the NBA. Nah, I don't want this. I'm out. I'm going to go do my own thing.
Remember he got traded for Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah.
He's now killing it in the big three or something.
And then last year he was on Zooms and he was going to his sister's birthday party without a mask. That was against the NBA, you know, the protocols of the time. This year he won't get vaccinated, which...
Well, he's not anti-vaccine, Joe. He's anti-mandate.
Right, he's standing up. He's the voice for the voiceless. Could you imagine that?
Who's the voiceless? Andrew Wiggins?
He's voiced his piece, right?
You think it's an Australian thing? Like, Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons are both Australian.
Kyrie Irving's Australian?
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving is Australian?
Yeah, he was born in Australia.
But he grew up in New Jersey.
Yeah, but he's an Australian citizen.
I didn't realize he had that much ties to it. I mean, I just, for, like, he went to high school in New Jersey. Like,
right. But he's Ben Simmons went to high school in Florida.
Right, but how long did Kyrie live in Australia?
I don't know, but he was born there, and he has dual citizenship.
I mean, I believe your facts. I'm just saying, like, off top of my head, Kyrie and I think, are we're both from New Jersey. That's why I always thought of Kyrie as just this, like...
Is this upsetting to you that the best player in the history of New Jersey is from Australia?
No, I don't care where he's from, and I don't care what he does. But I'm just saying, I didn't realize that. I don't think it's an Australian thing. I just think Kyrie thinks the earth is flat. Like, he's a dope is what it is. Let's talk to Rick, who's in Doylestown. What's up, Rick? Rick, you there, buddy?
Oh, sorry about that. I'm here. Sorry. Just wanted to – I'm sure it's been talked about, but the divide between two Philadelphia athletes has never been greater. And the reason I say that is One is, as you said earlier, petulant, spoiled, snot-nosed brat, and the other epitomizes class, dignity, and handling a difficult situation like a professional. I always had respect for Zach Ertz, but at the same time that we're watching Ben do all this nonsense, I read the back page of the Inquirer and the thank you to the fans and how much he appreciated Philadelphia, the game, the fans, just the sport. And it's just refreshing that there are people like that in the sport, that if I'm raising a son or daughter, I can point to one and say, that's how you need to conduct yourself in life. And then the other one, you could say, that's if you want to be a loser for the rest of your life, this is how you act and treat other people.
Yeah, Rick, it's a great point. It's a great point you brought up, the Ertz thing. I mean, you know what I respect, Rick? I respect athletes like Ertz, Brandon Graham. Remember how difficult his career started here when he was injured and he wasn't productive? Like, you know, people always give a bad rap to Philadelphia, how hard we are on athletes, but I don't think there's any city that respects more the athlete that went through some trials and tribulations, and even like Joel, right? A lot of injuries, and then comes out the other side. And Ben, like he still has that opportunity. Like he struggled, he had a bad playoff series, but if he didn't ask out and he said he was going to put his head down and he worked and he came back better, this city would have accepted him back. Like that's the frustrating part.
Without question. Without question. And, you know, the one thing I do notice, and I think it's obvious, I'm not a scholar at evaluating people and personalities, but I just don't get the feeling that Ben has ever loved playing the game of basketball. I think he's great at it to a certain extent with the skill he has, but has never worked on getting better. Where I see Zach Ertz as someone who has passion in it. When he spiked his touchdown in the end zone last week, it was you felt the energy. He loved the game. And Ben looks lobotomized half the time. I never see him smile. He just, maybe that's all part of his personality. I shouldn't be that judgmental, but I don't get the feeling that he really gets pleasure out of the game, just money.
He's a robot. Like, there's no emotion to it. Like, good or bad, it's just, it's nothing. Yeah, it's a shame. I think his career will be looked at as a shame. And Rick, it's just frustrating because, I mean, this is impacting the season. I was just saying a few minutes ago, I'm almost not even excited at all for the first game tomorrow night.
No, it's a shame because there's a lot to be excited about, but it's such a distraction. It's a dark cloud over the Sixers. And, I mean, that's where it points back to Morey. This should not be where we are right now. This should have been resolved last year after the end of Game 7. It
yes.
should have been fait accompli. It's over. Let's move on.
Yes, and that's why, Rick, I was pretty sure your phone call. There has to be an adult in the room. And Daryl Morey's, like, Daryl Morey's job is to look out for the best interest, short and long term, for the Philadelphia 76ers. And I said short because I think that we lose track of that sometimes. You know, like Tucker mentioned earlier, the Hinkie quote, the longest view in the room. Today matters too, right? You could try to balance today and tomorrow, but you can't just throw away today always at the expense of tomorrow. I guess in a rebuild, in a sense, you can. Like, who cares about this particular game today? It's about the big picture. But the Sixers aren't in a rebuild. Joel Embiid's prime is not going to just suddenly, like, he's not going to wake up and find some sort of magic potion that makes big men last till they're 40.
Could you freeze him?
Like Ted Williams?
Or Walt Disney?
You want to freeze Embiid now or when he passes? Like,
I mean, I don't know, now?
Maybe freeze him now until they get everything else figured out and then bring him back?
Yeah, could you do that?
Joel, listen, we got a plan.
It's 2021. Science has, like, they're cloning sheep now.
Yeah, I mean, just how do you get him to sign off on that? Joel, listen, we got a big picture plan. Just believe us on this. We're going to freeze you for a couple years. We got to deal with this Ben thing, contracts. Let's get Tobias out of here. We'll reset the salary cap. We'll bring in a couple of real stars. We'll unfreeze you, and we'll go win a title. You on board?
I mean, like, he just had a kid. He may not be excited about that idea, but
yeah, the world
seems
goes
like
on.
A team first guy.
Yeah, and it is. It's not. I mean, it's a little beyond team first. I mean, it's freezing you. But like, you know, when it comes to GMs like Morey, it's not just about tomorrow. Like, yeah, I'm just gonna wait and hold on to Ben until tomorrow arrives, until I get the best deal. Well, what about today? What about this season? Like, we said, Mike O'Connor, who covers the team, and I asked him what his outlook on the season is, and he said competitive. They're the number one seed in the conference last year. Does anyone believe they're gonna be the number one seed in the conference this year? Anyone? I don't. I mean, they're just going to have a step back this year because of probably a million different things, including the fact that right now they go from whatever the impact Ben Simmons had on the regular season. I don't know if you want to look at it in terms of wins added, you know, baseball we do war. I don't know what it is, right? But, like, taking Ben off the team and replacing him with zero, that's actually helping you in the regular season. Like, that's you're missing a player. He did do some things to help them win some games in the regular season. That's they've got nothing back for that now. Zero.
Right.
I mean, they're worse.
Yeah, it's not just addition by subtraction. I know we tend to think it is because of not just Ben Simmons' acts, but the fact that the one thing he can't do is the most obvious thing to watch on a basketball court. But, I mean, just even look at the Hawks series, right? I know he played terribly offensively. I know he only had 5 points in Game 7. I think he shot the ball 10 times total in Games 5 and 6. He was a big part of the reason why the team failed. But I know people don't like that he bragged about how good he was on Trae Young, but look at Trae Young's numbers that series compared to the other two they played. He was pretty terrible for most of that 7-game series, and you could probably attribute a lot of that to Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, his defense will not be there tomorrow night. I mean, whatever negatives he brought, there were some positives, and it's like they didn't trade that for something. Like, they haven't done that yet. It is incredible. 215-592-9494. That's how you hopper. We'll come back. Joel Embiid today talking about this Ben Simmons situation, and he said he's not something. Well, you hear what he said, he's not. And I agree with him. He's not. These are grown men. We'll hear from Joel Embiid. And we get, you know what? It's very rare. A weeknight during October, we didn't talk about the Eagles, but for a couple minutes, a couple hours ago. But I did want to talk about something that was a notable takeaway from this weekend. And for a guy that's getting ripped, rightfully so for a lot of things, we got to give someone credit for something that happened this past offseason because it's paying dividends.
Carson Wentz?
No. Give Carson Wentz credit on this show. I mean, we might have to talk about Wentz at some point this week. I sense there's a lot of people, like, itching, even though when he completed 11 passes this weekend.
Good enough for Pro Football Focus Player of the Week.
Oh, geez. Oh, he completed 11 passes against the Texans. Everyone, take a deep breath. But I do want to give credit to someone. 215-592-9494. Hear from Embiid next. Your phone calls. Who are you more frustrated with right now for where the Sixers are and blame for all this? Morey and the Sixers or Ben? I'm blaming Morey and the Sixers. This should have been done by now. This guy should have been out of here. We'll discuss on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Basketball season is back, and there's no better place to bet on the NBA than FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. To celebrate the NBA tip-off, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers enhanced odds. That's right. Get 75-1 odds on any team to win on October 19th or 20th. Let me give you a team I really like this year. How about Memphis? I think they're going to take a big leap with their young point guard who's about to become one of the best players in the NBA. I'll take them to win their first game. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. Look, it's so easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet. There's fast withdrawals, and when you win, FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. And there's live betting. So you could bet faster in a game, and you know, we're watching the baseball game here, and the LA was down, and they came back. You just kind of sensed that coming. You could have took it and got a big return. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. See for yourself why FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code Jillio to get 75-1 odds on any team to win on October 19th or 20th. That's promo code GIGLIO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.